This is a HeadGum Podcast. Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, plus free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast.
Welcome back to Bahumia, everybody.
Bahumia.
I'm your Dungeon Master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz.
Feeling low, miss my bro. Where did he go? Alongside Saul Buffo, call him Kill Bill.
There it is. Saul Buffo is a great one to rhyme with, you know?
Yeah.
If you just need a bunch of O sounds, Saul's your boy.
Feels good. And then, of course, we've got Emily Axford.
From Ingrid's store to icy shores to camping indoors, it's Calliope Fletcher.
Wow, Calliope just had a nice night.
Chill. I don't remember anything else.
Yeah, just a fun little camping trip indoors.
Really pleasant.
I guess just did witness an assassination attempt, but
other than
only an attempt,
an attempt.
Only an attempt.
Only an attempt. It was just an attempt. And then, of course, we have Caldwell Tanner.
Oh, Saul Buffo. Hey, did you know?
No.
No, you didn't know or no.
You can't stop me. I have to do it. I have to do an intro. A species of Rouse intermediate golden-backed frogs was discovered with a mushroom growing off of its flank. That is right. There is real-life scientific precedent for mushroom frogs.
Damn.
Take that, frog haters.
Okay,
right,
Jake used the frog instrument correctly, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, because apparently you're supposed to do it down up. That's how you make the frog sound.
Sorry, I don't have the musical touch that Jake has.
I will say I do like the collective gaslighting that the audience did of me, where everyone was like, we knew it was the frog, Murph.
Really?
You didn't have to describe that. Yeah, there was lots of Patreon comments that were just like, we knew exactly what it was, Murph.
Wow.
So we knew exactly.
Really?
It
wasn't a visual bit.
Yeah, it was not a visual bit.
Wow.
That the audience agrees that he was playing it wrong,
right,
but also says they knew what it was.
Interesting.
It was a tiny W for me, for sure.
It was definitely a tiny W for Caldwell, a tiny L for me, and honestly an L for anyone that wants things described to them in the future.
A huge L for anyone that wants the show to start.
Yeah. All right, so let's go ahead and do a little recap.
Oh, thanks to Zek P and Chris for sharing that article, by the way.
No.
Oh,
nice.
Right on.
Okay. Yeah.
Not about the wood frog, but about the mushroom frog.
Yeah, about the mushroom frog.
Right on. Not
Moonshine was there.
Moonshine was there.
She slapped that frog. Or maybe it was wild-shaped moonshot.
Wow.
Oh,
shit. Theory. All right, let's do a little recap. So last time, you discussed this strange pod you found in the lake with Gregor.
Oh.
You went back to Calder's meat shed, where Gregor tried to...
It just sounds like
sounds
a masturbation
strange.
Euphemism.
Sounds strange. Yeah. And it's also not really his meat shed. It's his family's meat shed.
It's his dad's, really.
It's his dad's meat shed. You went back to his dad's meat shed, where Gregor tried...
So much worse.
Gregor tried to theorize about Alexandrite's invasion, bringing up that some of the attacks have been inconsistent. You were hesitant to bring him in the loop because of fears that he had been compromised, so he left before long. Afterwards, Saul called Ursia and told her to get in contact with Albin. Callie also shared the info she learned from the Sunflower that there were giant kin frozen under the mountain that could be amenable to any alliance that involved breaking the Fey Crowns.
That's right, let's get diplomatic.
As you made plans to track down Gawain, you suddenly heard a boom coming from the town square and ran off to investigate. There you found the alchemist alchemist's house in flames, and a group of scared onlookers who saw Gregor go in. Calder found Gregor in the burning basement looking for Ingrid. When all he could find was her apron, you rushed out of the house. As the roof collapsed, all that was left was a back wall with the message "Now" written in blood. Gawain showed up a moment later and confronted Gregor, believing him compromised. Before the two brothers could clash, a giant stepped out of the crowd to break them up. Calder recognized this as the missing Boris Frigg, who suddenly moved with unnatural movement, now an android who attacked Gregor with vicious aggression. Saul acted with incredible reflexes, pummeling the android, and with a big-time hit from Callie, they were able to save Gregor. After the android exploded, the brothers embraced, and you all went to speak in Gawain's room above the North Star. Eventually, Callie and Saul went back to Calder's house to check on his parents, but Gawain and Calder stayed to watch over Gregor. During the night, Gawain seemed paranoid and constantly checked the window. When Calder asked what he was looking for, he told him to stay away from the frog. The brothers all went to sleep, but when Calder awoke the next morning, Gawain was gone, leaving only a note that said, "Sorry, little brother." Calder rushed to his family's house with Gregor and gathered up the rest of you. After speaking to Mira about the curse of the ice knife, you headed out in pursuit of Gawain, and that's where we are now.
All right.
Okay.
But as you exit the Kilday cabin and the open air hits you, you suddenly hear interference coming from your shell phone.
Oh, I hand it to Sol.
I'm blowing up. I pull out the fake one first.
Sol phone.
Oh, it's the other one, actually.
Nice. You hear from the actual shell phone a message that's coming in kind of spotty at first. You hear, "Hello, Sol? Sol?
Albie? Albie, is that you?
Frog pal.
Albie!
Oh, I'm through. I'm through. Good to hear from you, Sol.
So good to hear from you. Are you okay?
Yes, yes, I'm fine. You know things are bad. We all know things are bad.
Oh, sure, yeah, just background,
just everything.
Low-level interference
of
bad.
Just low-level interference of bad in the background, but me right now, I'm fine.
That's what I want to hear.
Yes, I've been trying to trace you, but it's much easier now that you've got an item like this. Your friend Ursia. Reach out to me.
Yeah, right. She's great. Yeah,
she's great. Mm-hmm. So polite. Took a really long time to get to it, so I will not make the same mistake. Listen, the Alexandrite hub, the old mothership submersible, it's evolving, and we're having a hard time tracking it, but we did see a blip heading below the continent. We're worried she's planning something big. We're not far from you. We're in Frostwind right now.
Whoa!
We're trying to mobilize a force here.
Okay. You're in Frostwind?
Yes.
Incredible.
Yes, it's not too far. Things are, you know, when I said I was fine, I was actually doing, I was projecting to a big group of people, like some Frostwind nobles, trying to ask for their help. One of them insulted me, and I thought my projector was off, and I called him a dick. So things have gone back a few steps. Ma Goblin's not talking to me at the moment. Things are messy over here, Saul.
I side with Ma.
Did Callie just say she sided with Ma?
No, she said that she sided with me because I side with you.
Oh, excellent.
Long walk to get there, up. But a nice sentiment nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
Calder, silent as always, I assume.
Probably. I like the goblin, yeah.
Yeah, I thought as much. I thought I heard that. Right, we'll be here working on that. We shouldn't be too far away from you. I see where you are. I see that you're near the ice knife.
Yeah. God, it's been a while since we've been so close. I'm glad to know you're holding steady at the very least.
Yes, I'm hoping things will come together and we'll hopefully be able to put a stop to all of this before anything truly bad happens.
Okay.
And one other thing,
yeah?
Saul. You had mentioned in our last talk that you were a clone.
Yeah, that came up?
Yes, in the midst of all this other stuff, I did spend some time. I was able to access some of Patina Glenbottle's old files.
Whoa.
And I found some information on the clone program.
Dude, you really leveled up, man. You're killing it over there.
Oh, well, tell that to everybody over here. You hear that, Ma? Yes, I agree. I'll stop talking to anyone.
Put her on. I'll tell her.
You should have been there. Very bad.
I wish I could have
very
been.
Bad
sounds
public
like
speaker.
You put both feet in his
very
mouth.
Bad public speaker.
My fists are very loud. I can clap very loudly. I would have covered up all the booze.
Very good, Midge. Very bad public speaker. You see, she gets away from the shell phone and goes, yes, anyway, the clone program, it was a sort of beta program for the Synth Eldritch Knights. It was at a time that they wanted to build soldiers instead of just enchanting them. But the original Saul escaped before they could make a full batch of clones. Apparently, they fast-tracked a few and grew them at an accelerated rate. Those were sent after the original Saul as assassins, but they were killed by their intended target. They're marked as dead. There was only one full clone, Saul. Just the one tadpole, and it's been marked as released when the program was canceled.
Oh. Well, that... I mean...
Just you, Saul.
just me. Okay. But we just heard that there might be... I'm sorry, I'm just a little confused because we just heard a rumor that there was another frog seen at Coldbreak.
Coldbreak. I can look into it. Frostwind has been trying to reach them and hasn't gotten any word back. We did hear that there was an attack there. I'm sure there could be other bullywugs. According to this information, and look, it might be faulty. They might not have all of the information. According to this, you're the only true clone of the original Saul Bufo.
Huh. You know, that's actually oddly nice to know. I was worried for a while about all this potential family and all these connections out here, but now I know who I have and I know who I need to protect, and that's really good to know.
Well, I didn't need any of this info, Saul. I always knew you were special, frog pal.
Likewise, boy, wizard.
Perfect.
Can you imagine the two of them public speaking together? The two of them taking off and diplomatic.
Another excellent public speech by the boy wizard and his frog.
It makes me wonder if some of their dialogue got punch-ups in the original books.
I can imagine going to this two-man show.
Can you send me a picture of the goatee? I want to see how it's coming in.
Right on. Wispy as always, good buddy.
Whoa.
All right. See you soon.
All right.
Nailed it.
Hear him trying to hang up and it takes way too long. My goblin over, berating him.
Over and also out. See you.
Bye.
I love you.
And the connection ends.
Okay. Honestly, that's kind of nice to know. I could go into this with a semi-clear conscience.
Yeah, you won't be looking for frogs everywhere you go. You know, you don't. That's like a burden off your back.
Yeah, I kind of have been seeing phantom frogs in the edge of my vision. So now I can go into this clear-headed.
Yeah, you're the only frog pal I need.
Yeah. Aww.
Well, and swag, so two, technically.
Right.
But that's still not a lot.
No.
You consider we thought there was a lot.
Relatively,
more.
Yeah.
Sweet. So you guys begin making your way to the Chamber of the Ice Knife beyond the frozen waterfall. You guys walk out across the frozen lake, and as you go further north, the lakeside houses begin to disappear as the landscape gets more and more inhospitable.
As we're walking across the lake, I mean, I'm just going to look for any kind of like huge shadow of a presence underneath
Totally.
Us.
It does not... I'll say you don't even need to do a perception check here. You know from the fact that she sent like a pod ahead with like a little drill that it does not, and you already swam at the base of the lake here. You know that for something of that size to get through this, it would take longer and it would be an explosion. It would be an earthquake. It would be like a huge natural disaster. There would be no way to stealthily do it.
Yeah, all right.
But you do see that there are rangers around and stuff because Gowan, the last thing he had said was to watch the lake and to shoot up flares if anything comes out of it.
Yeah.
So you do see a bunch of rangers walking around. And in fact, a couple of them clock you, Calder, and walk up to you and go,
Calder, have you seen your...
I salute them.
Salutes you as well. Have you seen your brother? The Ranger General hasn't been around this morning.
Not today. He got up early. I think he went on a scouting mission. But keep your lines tight, send up those flares, and expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
And if you see Gowan, hang on to him so I can meet him before he debriefs with anybody else.
Oh, and actually, if you have some extra flares, it might be helpful, so we can send him up as well.
Yeah, you see, goes in and pulls out like a canister that's essentially a cantrip that'll do, you know, like a firework in the sky.
Hell yeah.
Not gonna do like 10d10 of damage or anything like that.
Hey man, you never know.
Yeah. No, I do. I do.
Agree to disagree, you know?
Yeah, he gives you this flare. And looks like you guys watch as like Calder kind of like takes on this authority, and this ranger is kind of like comforted, like they lost their leader this morning, can't find him, everything's gone to shit, but just hearing somebody talk to him and be like, this is what you do, it's all good, let me know when he comes back. Wow. It's like, cool, I got a job to do, great. Goes back to looking around the lake.
Lead the way, Ranger Kilday.
Oh, Calder squares his shoulders and trips a little bit, but then walks really straight and with purpose.
Eventually, you guys reach the end of the lake where the water meets the mountain and find this enormous frozen waterfall with huge icicle chunks that look like hanging stalactites. You can hear a trickle of some running water beyond the frozen exterior, and you hear a howl of wind from the crystal caverns beyond, but you see it is just darkness there. But you do have this map. Mm. The map looks like it takes you through these winding crystal caverns to the chamber of the Ice Knife, and once you're there, you're kind of in the domain of this haunted entity, whatever it is. So the map just kind of gets you to the dungeon you need to get to, okay. Essentially.
Yeah. All right. Follow the map.
Follow the map.
Right.
Follow the map.
Sweet. You guys enter the crystal caves, and it is pitch black. You see, Kenna takes a moment, lights a torch, and you see the light reflecting back on you guys on all sides. Thick ice coats the inside of this cave to the extent that you're basically in a giant maze of mirrors. You look down at the map to the relic's chamber, and it's a confusing mess of tunnels. I'm going to need a navigation check. This is going to be a DC 25 because you're not exposed to the elements, but you can't use history. You have to do nature or survival. Same deal as before. You can get lost or get exhausted, but since it's a tunnel, there are ways to account for getting lost. You see, Kenna will take the back of her hammer and kind of mark up the wall with like the claw of the hammer to make like a line to know where you guys have been.
I can some flapjack crumbs too.
Right.
I used to get lost all the time at launch pad, so I'm pretty good at finding my way around.
All right, okay. Great.
So I can maybe do a survival check.
Right on. Yeah, okay. Kenna will hit you with a Squire Inspiration for a D4, okay. And we'll also add a help to that. All right, so you get advantage.
I think back to the time that Albin and I were chased around by a giant sentient vacuum.
That must have sucked.
Oh, you should have read the book.
You guys really depended on that specific joke. The book was very thin on plot.
I will also look at Saul and be like, you're one of a kind. Or rather two. But that's cool,
that's
too,
still, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We've been hanging out with twins, and it honestly looks more fun than being
two
single.
Two of a kind, yeah. You can sometimes win in poker with that. Okay, I'm going to roll with advantage here.
Great. Go. Yep. Saul looks at the map, tries to make sense of this kind of confusing mess.
Okay, so the best I can do is a 14, but I'm going to roll my bardic.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's not even going to get you.
That's a 16 with the bardic. With the D4, that's an 18. Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Wow. Fuck, yeah. That's all right. All I got.
Get lost.
You guys go for quite a bit and through this confusing path of tunnels, and you guys finally get to an area where the path diverges, and you check the map, and you just cannot find any spot on here that matches up with it.
I feel bad. I've been eating the flapjack crumbs. I didn't really get to eat before we left.
Yeah, and in the book, there was like a real Deus Ex Machina moment where like our friend just saved us from the vacuum cleaner, and like we didn't even actually have to find our way out of it. So,
damn.
Yeah.
It was cheap. Yeah. It was cheap. It was unearned.
Yeah.
I like the characters, but some of the plots are really
It was
thin.
Weird. It was Albin from the future, and that just never came up again.
All right. Well, I put the claw on here, and we can try to make it back as far as we can until we recognize an area on the map.
Okay, let's try to retrace our steps if we can.
Okay, go ahead and give me, everybody give me constitution saving throws to see if you're going to get exhausted from all of this hiking.
Oh, 19.
Okay, Callie, you pass. You're all dead.
It's going to be a big 10 for Saul.
Saul, you get a level of exhaustion.
Jeez. Fuck, that means disadvantage on ability.
Oh, wait, it's a saving. It's a saving throw. Kenna is going to hit you with the reinforce and let you reroll a saving throw.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, you with the best survival, having disadvantage on your checks would be very bad.
Mm-hmm. That's an at 20.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay. It's only a 15 for me, but I'm going to use Indomitable
and
reroll a saving throw. That's a 19.
Okay, you're all good. DC was 16. You are safe.
Kenna just slaps all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, everybody keep it together.
Right, all right, we're doing it. Saul the hardest.
All right, yeah.
You guys kind of retrace your steps and get back to a place on the map where you think you recognize it. Go ahead and give me another survival or nature check.
Okay.
Okay, I look at Saul and I say, because you're two of a kind and you're the second one, second time's a charm.
There we go.
And that's another bardic.
Two winks, that's just closing your eyes. All right.
Yeah, Squire
Inspiration.
Closing
my eyes because I'm fucking scared of what's going to happen. Yeah.
Squire Inspiration and a help action.
Okay. I'm going to roll with advantage. Ah, hell yeah. That's a 15 plus 8, 23.
Okay. Oh, great. Good. Yeah. All right. So even if you roll a 1 on both, but maybe you can save the Bardic Inspiration.
Roll
the Squire. So try the Squire one first.
Bardic.
Good call.
All right. That's a 1 on the Bardic. You do have to exhaust all your stuff.
Okay. That's a 1 on the Squire dice. I'm going to roll the Bardic as well.
Yeah. So as long as you get a 1, you're fine.
Callie, open your eyes. That's a 2.
Great. Okay. You barely do it, but make it. Okay.
All right.
So you guys have a pretty exhausting day of hiking. Like, you think this probably took you like 5 or 6 hours to get through all of this.
Let's hope that Gowan was as ill prepared for this as us.
We ran out of flapjacks and had to use syrup. There's ants everywhere.
I don't know if Mr. Perfect is going to make us.
I was going to say, Mr. Kilday, do you think that Gowan would be prepared?
Yeah, I think he's meticulously prepared.
Do we see any of his footprints or tracks?
Go ahead and make an investigation check or a perception check.
Ooh, can I help?
Yeah.
Can I help Cutler?
Yeah.
25.
You do see some giant footprints in the snow here. Or not snow, like frost.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh. All right.
So
that's my brother's boot.
Yeah.
Those were his red wings. Shit.
Yeah. I'll say they're not frequent enough. It's kind of like there's a little bit of frost here. It's not snow, so there's not like perfect footprints. You couldn't have followed his footsteps through here, but now that you know you're on the right path, you can look for signs that someone was here, and you do see certain parts where, like, bits of the wall are, like, leaking some condensation. Looks like he might have brought a torch through there. Mm. Every once in a while, you'll see, like, a collection of frost, and you see, like, a boot print in there. Mm. All signs point to Gowan having come this way.
Right. Can you analyze his stride to see how confident he is?
Yeah, Gowan's been going. Shit,
yeah. He's going, but he is... I'll say with a 25, he's not confident. He's rattled.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's clearly turned around if we're seeing his footprints here.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, he does not look like he made a perfect run to the chamber.
I've never seen his confidence shaken before.
Yeah.
So you guys make your way through the tunnels, crisscrossing different paths. Left, right, up, down, into the darkness. The trail is even more confusing because of the reflections of the walls. It's making you kind of second guess where you are, if you're going the right way. It looks like there's a tunnel one way, but nope, that's just a reflection of a hallway going in the opposite direction. But you hunker down and move slowly following the map. And eventually, you guys get to what appears to be the location of the chamber on the map. But all you see is a dead end, a wall of ice, this one covered in deep white frost.
Hmm. This is what it says on the map.
Maybe we have to break through.
Or maybe it's an illusion. Saul walks confidently into the wall.
You see Saul hits his head on the wall.
Ow.
But since he's walking, it barely does any damage just to his pride.
Just like the physics seem off. I like bounce off of it and then walk into it again.
There's just a loud thud that echoes. And it's just a real wet frog sound. Just
no,
that didn't work.
It's real.
Great. Well, we should go back.
It's a good try.
Maybe let's try and use our hands to chip away the frost.
Yeah.
I'll take out a bit of wood and light a torch with my prestidigitation.
Ooh,
sweet. Yeah.
Try and like melt it. This is very Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, you hold a torch over the wall and you do see that the snow begins to melt away and you begin to see carvings in the ice. On the left side of the wall, you see lids, lashes, and a pupil, a symbol of a giant eye. And on the right side of the wall, you see a carving of a snowflake. And Callie, as that one appears, your sword begins to glow, the hilt where you put the snowflake emblem.
Is that...
So, is that... That's Ariax's symbol.
Yeah, that's Ariax's symbol. And that...
Are these two different paths?
Yeah, it looks like it. You see two doors.
Two doors. And the eye, that's the symbol of... Groomsh.
It's the symbol of... Well, the symbol of Groomsh technically is missing the knife through the eye. Yeah. I had to memorize a bunch of banners and stuff for Squire class.
I mean, that Squire makes
high.
Sense.
Squire high, yeah.
It's good for trivia nights. It's good for...
It's excellent for trivia nights. Well, I don't know what a trivia night is. I'm a kid.
You don't know what a trivia night is?
Well, kids can have trivia nights.
All right, I get the idea.
Jenna, when this is over, I'm taking you to a trivia night.
You know what, Jenna? We're going to have a lock-in at the church. We're going to do trivia.
Jenna looks worried.
Well, let's not commit to anything yet.
Okay, so I bet to get through the eye, you just stab it. But maybe we could also go the Oriox path with my sword.
I think I trust you to walk the path of Oriox more than Groomsh.
Is there a reason that the Groomsh path would be better?
From what we know about Groomsh and his followers, I would say no.
Okay. I mean, that was my thought too.
Can I investigate and see if we can tell which way Gowan went?
Yeah. So, weirdly enough, the... left door, the one with the eye on it, the incompleted symbol of Groomsh, the door looks completely locked in. Like it doesn't have any kind of knob or any way to open it. You go over, you touch it. There's no push to it. There's no give to it. But there are boots in front of it. And it looks like he went in that one. Hmm. The one with the snowflake is like cracked open a little bit.
Inviting. Too inviting.
I feel like we should follow Gowan.
Yeah, I don't want him going off on his own. I'm biased. I want to follow my brother, but I don't want to... I don't know if I'm thinking clearly. Are you? What do you guys
I'm
think?
Thinking clearly, and I think that it doesn't help us to, you know, go down a path that he's not down.
Calder, I think you should shard on the door.
Yeah, it's time to shard on the door.
Definitely going to change the name of this dagger.
Calder shoves shard into the eye.
Yeah, you take...
Oh, that's going to get pink eye.
You take your ice sword and you put it through the eye and you see dark blood oozes out from an opening there and
bad,
appears.
Bad sign.
And
might
then
be a fungus.
It cracks open, inviting... And Callie, you feel your sword pulling you towards the other door.
Do you want to open that door, Callie?
Yeah, I'll go over and open the door.
Callie, you open that door and you see a room that is dark at first, but you see magical braziers and torches light as soon as your feet touch the floor, and there is a massive cave here with walls of blue ice and thousands of detailed carvings. It does not look like it's a full dungeon. It looks like it's a large room.
Oh.
Do you mind if I look at these? I can catch up with you.
No, we'll come. Let's do it together.
It feels like we might get information from all these pictographs.
Yeah, and we know there are friends in the caves.
Yeah.
So. Let's try to get as much info and intel as we can.
I'm going to hold my torch up to light up all these
right on.
Images in the wall.
So you go in. Everybody give me perception checks or investigation checks.
Dirty 20.
Nat 1.
Okay.
12.
Okay.
I immediately panic and cast Blade Ward on myself.
So I'll say... Callie and Saul, you guys look around, and Callie, you I think are overwhelmed by the
height of the ceiling,
by just the mass of it all.
Does it feel like almost spiritual? Is there like almost like a shrine? Is this imbued with something that was sacred to someone?
It doesn't feel...
Or is it just the cold and the history that's making it feel hollowed?
I think more the latter. I think more that.
Okay. And hollowed, not hallowed.
Yeah.
Hallowed. But, I mean, it is carved out ice, so it's hollowed and
it's
hallowed.
It's hollowed. Hollowed and hallowed. Okay.
But Calder, you look at it, and you recognize some events that happened in Bohemia's history. This seems to be, and you kind of piece together that these look to be the writings of somebody who's trying to predict like major apocalypse scenarios in Bohemia. Mm-hmm. You recognize some of the stuff as events that have already happened long, long ago. The destruction of the plain when the gods first walked among the humanoids here. And then you see diverging paths, some of them things that have happened, some of them things that didn't. You see a lot of focus on the giant and dragon wars, mm-hmm. probably because you guys all get the sense that, and especially you, Callie, mm-hmm. with your sword, you get the sense that these are Ariox's predictions, or at the very least his writings.
Is this like the idea like they would become unfrozen and this would be like the primer of like, this is everything that's happened. Now go out into the world.
It looks like a personal thing, like he was trying to work it out himself. Like a bunch of possibilities, like branching trees.
His notes.
Yeah, it's essentially his notes.
Is this divination?
Is it divination? I have divine sense.
It does. It is divination magic, yes. And Calder, you recognize, you see things that did not happen. You see like futures where giants rule over the material plane. You see ones where dragons do. You see the current timeline with small folk taking over. But as it gets towards the future, you do see a fog over it. And amongst the thousands of carvings here, you do see a big piece in the middle of the wall. That is an image of Ariox, and next to him there is a small Arctic fox. And as Calder is up there reading and everything, and as you guys are all looking around at all of the different pictures and notes, you hear a deep moan from beyond the wall. At first it sounds like the cracking or the shifting of ice, but it begins to take on the sound of a familiar melody, Callie. You recognize the song that your mother used to hum.
Really?
And as the song plays, you see a ghost phases through the wall, taking the form of an Arctic fox. And the fox sniffs the air.
Ah, I have been waiting for you. For us? All of us?
Perform the most formal fae curtsy with all the trappings. It's sort of like a pirouette into a curtsy.
I eloquently bow and put my hand out for the fox to sniff it and get my scent.
I do kind of a please don't eat me gesture, but in reverence.
You see the Arctic fox, just normal fox size, because Ariox in his normal form would, you know, be as tall as Callie, maybe a little bit taller. You see the fox walks over to Callie, gives her a sniff and goes,
you smell like him.
Do I?
Yeah.
What do I smell like? Spearmint and tea leaves?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. That's stole that from Calder's bathroom.
That's what my mother smelled like.
You see a sort of knowing look in the fox's eyes, and the fox nods. And then she goes over to Saul and gives him a little sniff.
Saul Bouveau, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. What is your name?
My name is Lumi. I was the animal companion of Ariox.
Lumi, it's
Lumi.
Nice to meet our friend in a place like this.
Thank you, yes.
And you, yes. Goes over to you.
Smell me. You smell familiar. I've been waiting for you to come back. Come back? You've been here once before. When was that? When your mother came? She was carrying me.
The fox nods.
Calder sinks down. I am one of two spirits here. The spirit who haunts the ice knife is behind the other door.
Yeah, I think that's where we're heading.
Right, I was left here by Ariax to guide you, to give you guidance.
Does Ariax hunt these walls too?
Ah, that is a complicated question. Best if I showed you something first.
Okay.
Of course, you need to sniff Kinna first, though.
Hi.
What does she smell like?
Am I going to be a knight?
And you see she goes over and sniffs Kenna and then looks at Kenna.
Do you really want to know?
No.
Okay, good. Because that might, you know, I don't want to give anything away. Yeah. I don't want to give anything away.
A true knight knows without knowing.
But you see Lumi sort of pads over and goes over to the wall and settles on a carving of an Eladrin and a Cyclops locked in deadly combat. And she goes, go on, touch it. It's going to be scary, just so you know.
Okay.
All right.
I hold up a trembling hand, and then I shake off my fear, and I shove my fist on it.
Nothing's scarier than having a dagger named Shard when Gregor's your brother.
Shard, did you say?
No, I didn't. But I might as well.
Calder slams his hand against the wall.
I slam my hand on top of theirs.
Uh-huh. Kenna joins hands with you guys. You guys all touch the wall, and it triggers a vision. When you blink and open your eyes, you are suddenly in another chamber, watching a Cyclops knight with heavy black armor and spiked pauldrons holding up a beaten and bedraggled Ariox. He still has a degree of elegance, even in this precarious position. His frost-covered armor has been pounded and misshapen, but his demeanor remains cool as he looks at the Cyclops with frosty sapphire eyes.
Is this my first time, like, seeing Ariox?
You saw an outline of him, of, like, uh-huh. his spirit joining the rest of your ancestors from the Kingshammer, but you don't know that that was...
It's inexact.
But it's inexact. You've never seen him fully, but here is an image of Ariox. And you see, appears confident, like he has a plan, even though this Cyclops has clearly bested him in physical combat. You see that Ariox is holding a glowing blue longsword that dangles from his left hand, etched with sylvan runes. And you sense that this is the ice knife. You guys just get a feeling in your gut looking at it. Mm-hmm. It looks like these two have been fighting. The Cyclops is a little banged up, but yes?
Sorry, I was thinking about mansplaining it to Callie. That's the ice knife.
It looks like these two have been fighting, and the Cyclops pulls him in and speaks to him with such venom that he's just blood and spit coming out with every word. You hear the Cyclops go,
you froze our allies, closed the gate to the Feywild, and locked out our reinforcements. We were winning. We could have hunted down every last dragon, crushed the small folk and their puny cities. Traitor!
See, the Cyclops disarms Ariox, takes the ice knife, and stabs it through his chest. As the Eladrin coughs and wheezes, he gasps out his last words.
I die a traitor in the eyes of a tyrant. You die a fool.
See, Ariox grabs the sword and sends a wave of frozen energy through it, creating shards of ice that pierce the Cyclops through the chest and head. The giant's gasp is cut short by the killing blow, and both combatants freeze in place, frozen in a sick statue of death. Whew. You guys return in front of this wall and the fox spirit.
Fuck it, I'm calling this dagger Shard for sure.
Who was that? Who did this to Ariox?
The Cyclops was named Radak. He was a paladin of Grumsh, a minor warlord at the start of the war, but his influence grew throughout the campaign. The giants originally fled the Feywild to escape the courts and crowns, but once they started winning, Radak used it as a means to empower himself, and Ariox saw a potential future where Radak named himself King of the Material Plane and could not allow that to happen.
So he froze everyone to protect them from a future that was bad.
It's complicated. At the end of his life, Ariox realized the price of his meddling. His involvement in the war with the giants was originally because of visions that dragons would destroy this plane.
Yeah.
And then once he joined the side of the giants, he began to have visions of the giants taking over this plane. Mm. Once he saw that Radak was potentially going to repeat what the fake courts had done to create magical crowns to rule over the people here, he decided to stop the campaign. He didn't want to
have them flee from one king to another.
Yes, but wise as he was quite conflicted at the end. I believe his sacrifice was as much an act of contrition as it was to kill Radak.
The allies that are frozen, did they want to rule as well, or did they want what Ariox wanted?
Their allegiances sort of ran the gamut. There were some that just wanted to be free of the crowns of the Feywild, and there were some that saw this as a means to seize power here in the material plane. The tone of the war changed once Radak gained enough power, and he was about to be made the commander general of the entire army. So they were some reluctant allies of Radak and some enthusiastic allies of Radak, but all of them hate the crowns.
Okay. And Radak, is he waiting for us behind that other door?
Part of him is. So some ghosts are a physical manifestation of the soul. Others are raw emotion, echoes of the moment of death. The spirit we are dealing with is the latter. These two, she gestures to the carving of the two fighting. These two tangled in endless combat. Ariox's desire to protect the ice knife. Radak's desire to destroy the weak. Ariox's trickery. Radak's cruelty. It is this last moment manifested. The spirit is not something that can be reasoned with. It is not one of them manifested or even both of them manifested. It is an echo of this one moment. I call the spirit Havoc.
Havoc.
And does the spirit bear Ariox's contrition?
I believe it does to a certain extent. Havoc's combination of cruelty and trickery lends to a sort of gamesmanship, and the four of you are uniquely worthy opponents. You have a connection to the giants and the ice knife itself, a connection to the Feywild and to Ariox. You have suffered great betrayals at the hands of the enemy you wish to stop. To Havoc, you are no enemy, no ally. You are a rival. And that means that you get a chance. You get a chance to challenge.
Could Gowan be over there challenging Havoc right now?
She goes over and sniffs you and nods solemnly.
He did not seek my counsel.
Then he's at a disadvantage already.
May I ask one last question? A personal one.
Of course.
Ariox died contrite. My mother also died in a position of penance, and I believe she felt contrition. Is this the fate of all of his ancestors to reenact this?
She goes over and sniffs you and gives you a nice animal companion-like head bump and rubs up against you and shakes her head and goes,
"No, no. The future is still foggy. Beyond it lies all matter of possibility."
Okay. I get down and I rub her real good behind the ears. And then I whisper in it as I rub it, "Thank you, I needed to hear that."
She licks your hand.
I lick hers.
Oh, well, interesting.
I sniff her.
Hey, Callie, come on. You're really getting in there.
What does she smell like, though?
Spearmint and tea leaves.
All right,
familiars always smell like their, you know, the person that they work with.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Albin and I use the same Old Spice.
Yeah, it's, it's actually really similar to okay. that. Yeah.
You know, learning from my friend's mistakes, I try not to divulge too much, but seeing as your mother is not currently with us, I can tell you something that I was able to divine from your scent. Yeah. Your mother had Ariax's gift.
What is Ariax's gift?
To see visions of the future.
She could see the future and she did everything she did only for a humiliating public execution? Why would she have done any of that?
You see the fox pads over to the wall and points her nose at a picture of you here in this moment.
You got here, didn't you?
Oh my god.
Wow.
All this time, I thought it was just simple greed that motivated her. And I thought I just wasn't greedy enough for her. I'm gonna rub this in fucking Cyrus' face. I'm a paladin and I make oaths and I'm gonna fucking rub this in Cyrus' face. It's a carving in the wall.
Yeah.
Can I put like a piece of paper and
yeah.
sketch it, you know?
Do a rubbing.
Yeah, I'm yeah. gonna do a rubbing.
Yeah, you do a rubbing of, yeah, it. You see, you guys are on the fucking wall there. You see Saul.
Oh, look at that.
Calder.
Wow.
And Callie.
You look really tall.
I take it and I make that rubbing and I put it as close to my heart as I possibly can and tuck it in.
The gift, as Ariax learned, is also a curse. Your mother, and hopefully she will get to tell you herself one day, likely was afraid to affect your future.
God, she just knew what was coming, and that's why she kept me at arm's distance.
Yes, she seems to have inherited Ariox's penchant for cold, calculating actions in the present to secure a better future. They don't make for the best parents. At times, they don't make for the best friends.
I can't believe she never told us about this. I guess she couldn't have. She probably saw a future where she told us and let us in on the secret. And it didn't go right. It didn't go well.
She made this the greatest sacrifice for her favorite daughter.
For what it's worth, Callie, when we saw Ariox, he smiled the same way you do.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if you've inherited all of his gifts, but you've certainly got his trickery.
Dude definitely smelled like tea leaves, too. Right?
It's really pungent. It's really pungent.
For
I
sure,
love
for
it.
Sure.
I uh-huh. really do.
Yeah, it fills a room.
Okay, well, I desperately wish I could sit here and ask you everything that you know about Ariox and my mother, but I think we have an appointment with Gawain.
Just yes. one more question.
Of course.
Who's a good fox? Who's a good fox?
Starts walking around your legs, rubbing up against you.
There
me,
we
me,
are.
Me.
You're a good fox.
Do you want some pancake?
Yes.
Okay. You're not supposed to have this, but
starts
just a
eating
bit.
Some pancakes.
Damn.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
You do see, as you guys go to leave, she appears in front of you as you guys head for the door, and she goes, "I don't know exactly what challenges await you, but in the end, I doubt you will be able to get to the planar key without lifting the curse. The only way to kill Havoc is to shatter the statue holding the ice knife in place.
Okay.
The sculpture of the two of them locked in combat.
Break the embrace.
Break the embrace.
Okay.
And I will confess to having some personal stake in the curse being lifted.
Will you be reunited?
You see, she looks excited and nods her head.
Oh, let's do some quick grooming.
Yes.
Quick grooming.
She starts licking herself.
Help her file her nails down a little bit.
Yeah, you see Lumi disappears back into the wall.
Okay. Well, we know we're all supposed to be here, and we don't know what happens next.
Yeah, we walk into the fog now.
We're doing it together.
Yeah, let's etch the next panel.
Let's do it.
Sweet. So you guys go.
I mark this on the map because I want this to become like a temple for diviners to come from all over Bohemia to study here.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel it, Callie?
I don't think I do at all.
A glimpse of the future?
I try to sniff both of them.
You sniff both of them, and of course you don't get anything, but there's more wall behind the mist.
Okay.
Do you want to look?
It's ice, though. Couldn't it melt and become different?
Maybe we can still ride it ourselves. Maybe the only way to ride it ourselves is if we don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we look at it, do we ruin it?
I think we make our own destiny.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that everything we've seen gives us a clear enough path. We know what we're fucking carving in there.
Let's melt our way through.
Let's do it.
Let's carve.
Sweet.
You guys, that's ice sculpt.
You guys leave.
I am going to keep an eye out for divination moments, though. Yeah. Just like, I'm like, whoa, maybe all of my feelings were actually like gut instincts that were actually leading me towards my destiny.
I like that.
You guys exit and see that the Grumsh door has cracked open since you guys have plunged the shard in there.
That's right. I'm going with shard.
Yeah. I step through.
You guys enter. You see, as Calder walks in, this one is not as inviting. The other one, like, you stepped a foot in.
Yeah.
All these, like, magical lights went up. You see Calder disappears as he walks in.
Well, we should have just peeked out a couple panels. Just a couple panels to see what was coming. Why didn't we do that?
Kenna rushes in and dives into the darkness.
I'm going to cast Blade Ward on myself and join them.
Everybody take a torch.
Yeah, right, I do have torches.
You all enter this door and quickly feel it slam behind you before refilling with ice and frost. You see it just turns into a wall of ice behind you, just turning into a smooth wall. You are on an icy floor here. You just see frost below you with a dark abyss all around you. And suddenly, you guys hear a deep crack in the ice and feel an earthquake as four ice sculptures appear. There's one of Calliope holding her sword up to the sky with Foster on her shoulder. You see Foster jumps up and does the same pose on you, Callie.
Oh, Foster, I'm sorry. I didn't introduce you to the fox. I'm so sorry.
You see, shrugs. There's one of Kenna with her hammer at the ready. Saul has two enlarged fists in a fighting stance. And Calder stands holding his great sword charred in his hands.
Do you think that your brother walked in and saw this, or did he see a statue of himself?
Oh,
how man. Tricky are these chambers?
I yell at Ice Calder, did you tell him the name of the sword? Even Gowan will laugh at that.
You see just frozen ice sculpture. Stay still. But after a moment, you guys see a message being scrawled out in the frost beneath your feet as if by an invisible finger. You see F-R-I... You see the ghost has written, friends.
Friends?
Friends?
Suddenly, the sculptures begin to shake, then shatter, sending icicles as sharp as knives rocking towards you.
Not friendly.
Everybody go ahead and give me dex saving throws. Oh.
Okay.
Careful of the shards.
Eve.
14.
8.
24.
Okay. Saul is the only one who dodges it. Saul gets out of the way.
Ha, nice try. There's only two of me.
You see,
it actually was a really nice try. Hit everybody else.
Everyone else just gets stabbed by icicles. You see, your friends are just full of icicles.
God. The try was too nice.
Oh, they've been shorted on.
You guys all take 16 damage, except for Saul, who takes none.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys see cuts across your body from these icicles. Blood begins to dribble down from your wounds. And as it drips onto the floor, you see the blood begins to gather together, and you see a new message scrawled in blood. Friends betray. The ground beneath you begins to crack and shake, rising up to create a circular platform about 30 feet in diameter. As the platform rises, you see black smoke filled with twisted spectral faces begin to snake around it. As the platform settles in place, you see a huge chunk of ice shoots out of it like a giant crystal stalagmite. From within the ice, a frozen sculpture of Gowan Kilday bursts out and begins swinging his sword. Everybody go ahead and roll initiative.
Oh.
18.
10.
28.
All right, so you felt the platform lift up. Mm-hmm. You're in a 30-foot in diameter circular platform of ice. It's got like frost. It's not like super slippery.
Uh-huh.
You see whirling, terrified souls mm-hmm. and smoke going around the platform. So it looks like if you were to fall off, you would fall a few dozen feet, probably like 30 feet, and take some damage from whatever the fuck's going on there. Tell me where you guys would position yourselves as you felt this platform rising. Do you think you'd group together in the center? spread out. What do you guys think you would do?
I know it's not good for battle, mm-hmm. but I think that my instinct is Havoc sees us as a rival, uh-huh. so I'm going to go to the center, stand tall, fighting Great. Stance.
Yeah, I was imagining all of us back-to-back in the center, so we're right a group, but facing
I know it's not
threat.
Like strategically good, mm-hmm. but it's just right for this moment.
Flanking.
So yeah, Kenna joins you guys in the middle here, so everybody's 15 feet away from the edge right now. At the top of the round, that is Saul. Saul, you see this big frozen Gowan has this big frozen sword and is getting ready to swing down on you guys.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to rush forward and say, whatever you do, don't ask Calderous Sword's name.
The ice sculpture's face cracks to make a confused brow.
And at that exact moment of confusion, I'm going to leap up and attack.
Sweet.
All right, take two attacks.
Yep.
Ooh, shout out to the two crew and shout out to the 20 friendies.
Hell yeah.
20 honeys.
So is that a nat 20?
That is a nat 20.
Weird way to say nat 20.
I'm trying out a new thing. Everyone says nat 20.
Mm-hmm. I like 20 honeys.
You see the ice sculpture of Gowan looks extremely confused when he just brings up the sword. This seems to just be like an elemental, not actually Gowan or anything. In that moment of confusion, Saul runs up and literally cracks it across the face.
Yeah. And that's going to be a 13 on the first hit.
Misses.
I'll go ahead and embiggen my fist. That's a 3. So 16?
That actually does hit.
Hell yeah. Oh,
yeah, nice. Just a big, big ice dude.
So I whirl back around and hit him on the second one.
You hit him on the second one, mm-hmm. and you see the ice sculpture of Gowan looks down at you, Calder, and goes,
Calder, why weren't you faster on the jump? You're going to let your little friend do all of the work? You should have been up earlier doing drills.
Oh my god, he's a rise and grind guy. You didn't tell us that about Gowan.
That's not him. You're not Gowan.
It sounds a lot like him.
Mr. Kilday, I think he is kind of a rise and grind guy.
Definitely, but he doesn't say it.
And I'll go ahead and do a bonus action for 2 more hits.
Right on.
17 and 22.
Both hit.
All right, great. That's going to be 4 hits.
6, so just literal flurry of blows as you pound into this ice sculpture. Literally, the shape of his face changes as you chip away pieces of him.
Now you look like Gregor.
Yeah, I kick a mullet into him. All right, cool. Let me add up this damage. It's going to be 54 damage.
Nice.
Wow. Dude.
Saul smashes half of Ice Gowan's face off.
Try to rise and grind now. Why would this stop me from rising and grinding?
I don't know. You'd have to like add more to your morning routine or something.
That's fine. I get up that early.
Fine.
Shit. I follow the rocks.
I'm going to put you out of your misery.
After Saul's turn, Havoc is going to take a legendary action.
What?
He's going to spend 2. You guys see a message in blood appear on the platform that says run. Everybody give me wisdom saving throws it casts compulsion on you.
15.
Okay, that fails.
Oh, ooh. 16.
Fails.
23.
Passes.
I also got a 16.
Okay, Calder and Callie, you guys see the spirits that are surrounding the outside suddenly appear in the middle, and you just instinctually fall back, run backwards, and run to the edge of the ice. This spell can't make you jump off a cliff or anything, but you guys run right to the edge, and then whoosh, your vision comes back, and Saul, you see that Callie and Calder have run right to the edge, hovering right over the soul.
Oh, hey, guys.
I just think, actually, maybe this fight is a bad idea.
Everyone back here.
I was just edging.
I was just edging because it's hot and sexy.
After the legendary action, that is actually Calder's turn, so you're actually okay.
Okay, so I'm good to run back and
you
attack.
You can use your movement, so you use 15 feet of movement to run back. So the only one in danger right now is Callie.
Okay.
Well, maybe you could name your sword Edging.
That's interesting.
Or just Edge.
Shard Edge. Is that good? Is that anything?
You see Gowan, even as by the book as Gowan is, the giant ice sculpture starts to laugh.
Your sword is called Shard? A mom's favorite!
I attack him. I take all 3 swings. That's a 21, a 24, and a 28.
All 3 hit.
Nice.
41 damage.
You break away a bunch of Gowan's core, and you see the sculpture is getting smaller and smaller.
Great. I'm going to use a charge from the helm, too, and add 2d12.
Oh, hell yeah.
Ooh.
That's going to be another 13 damage.
Okay. You see that this Gowan has been shaved down so much and is suddenly at your height.
Wow. Rise and grind. More like fall and ball.
And ball.
Ball.
So like, be awesome?
Yeah, no, like cry ball.
Be
like,
awesome?
No,
ball?
Like cry a lot.
Okay.
Cry a lot.
Interesting.
Calder starts crying a lot.
Cry a lot. You know what I mean, you asshole.
That is the Gowan statue's turn. He is going to use his movement. Calder, you get a opportunity attack, but you see the Gowan statue is going to turn and try to run to bull rush Callie.
Oh, but I'm just going to try to grapple him. I'm going to try to,
okay,
if we're the same size.
Go ahead and do an opposed athletics check against Little Gowan.
Little Gowan.
Just a little Gowan.
Just a little gal.
Gow thin.
22.
You successfully grapple him.
Wow.
So you grapple him with the opportunity attack.
Fallen ball, I said. All right, I'm going to ball. I'm going to dribble your head on the ground.
What?
Yeah.
So he's going to instead not use his movement, take his turn to make some attacks on Calder. So you see, uses his ice sword and swings down on Calder. First attack is a dirty 20 to hit.
That'll hit.
Okay.
Time out.
25 damage.
Oh, boy. All right, I'm going to use my Stone's Endurance and shrug off some of that.
Sweet. Yeah, you kind of turn yourself to ice. You see these two ice-covered brothers pounding on each other.
Time out, I said.
Next one is only a 16 to hit. So
that
you,
one misses.
You hold your sword up. You hold Shard up and block the attack. After the statue's turn, Havoc is going to take a turn. It is going to attempt to cast Crown of Madness on Saul. Saul, go ahead and give me a wisdom saving throw.
Oh!
No crowns, no cords!
You see, ha, 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 ironic.
Shit, they're playing right into my flip and quip mindset.
You text like my mom.
Holy shit, that 20!
Yes! 20
Give
frennies.
It up for my 20 frennies!
You shake it off. You see the crown shatters as soon as it touches your head. After that legendary action, that is Kenna's turn. Kenna is going to run over and I guess just use her hammer. You see Gowan's looking pretty small at this point.
He's grappled, right? So she gets advantage?
Yeah. No, she doesn't get advantage. He would need to be restrained.
Mm. Cool.
She hits twice, and with the pre-rolled damage, she does 17 damage, and you see Gowan's head shatters, busts apart. You see the whole body cracks and breaks, falling onto the ground. Callie, that is your turn. You do not see any other combatants on the field.
Havoc, show your face. This isn't very sporting.
You see, In the Blood shows a picture of you.
Oh, I'm you? You're me?
Doesn't even look like her.
I kick the blood in the snow. I'm going to run back to the center.
Okay.
And can I, like, prepare a reaction to attack if another, like...
Yeah, you can.
...body shows up?
So, Callie, I'll let
Within reason.
I'll let you tell me how you would react to this. So you just ready your sword. You get ready. I'll say you even, like, kind of delay your turn. You get ready to go.
Am I allowed to get a smite going? Am I allowed to cast a bonus action spell and then use my action?
You prepare your reaction as an action, yes.
Okay.
So
I think we just fought this, like, icy creature. So I think I'm going to whisper some words of fey trickery into my sword and all the ice crystals are going to erupt into white hot flame.
Fire appears on Callie's sword as you see the snowflake glows. At the end of the round, you feel cold air pick up around you and an object materializes out of thin air. A giant hourglass made of thick ice with snow in place of sand trickling down. Based on the snow in the bottom half of this device, it looks like one quarter of the time has passed, so it seems like it's tracking rounds of combat. So, Callie, you see this enormous hourglass of ice appears.
What is this, Boggle? What's going on here?
I think I'm going to wait for a legitimate combatant.
Right on. After that, that is Saul's turn.
So we've got this hourglass. We've got this, like, swirling tornado of spirits
yep.
to the side of us, or all around us. I guess I'll try to talk to the spirits?
Sure.
Yeah, I like kind of like run up to the side, almost like a basketball player, like slapping hands with everyone after scoring a basket.
Sweet. Give me a constitution saving throw.
Okay.
You just see they start to suck all of the moisture from you. Just,
I don't think they're cheering for us.
Death, join us. Join us.
I love my fans.
Join us. Join us in death.
I think they've read your book.
Dry death forever. Dry death forever.
Don't touch them.
Okay, constitution save is going to be a 12.
You take 24 damage.
Oh, God.
Do you have resistance to necrotic?
I do not.
Okay. 24 damage.
Okay.
Is there anything you'd like to do at the end of your turn? Or you've only used barely any of your movement. You had to use 15 feet to go over to the souls. Right. The souls try to eat you. They are a literal circle of death. They do 24 damage to you.
I run away. I like run towards them and like just as quickly book it back.
How'd it go?
Nope.
Buffo.
That must be the visiting fan side. Try the other one.
We do not have home field advantage. That has been determined.
Okay.
Yeah. After that, I guess if you'll allow it, I will inspect the hourglass.
Right on.
You said that like a quarter of the sand had fallen.
Yeah, you inspect it. It looks to, you touch it. It is physical. It is there. It looks like it was probably magically conjured by the spirit, but it is a physical thing that is there.
I've already done one reckless thing. I'm just going to like position myself next to it.
Okay.
I'm not going to do anything yet.
Right on. Okay. After Saul's turn, Havoc is going to take a legendary action.
Fuck it, I'm going to attack the. Before Havoc like activates
before
it.
Before the legendary action goes, Callie, you turn and you take a swing on the hourglass.
Great.
Oh, am I on licorice? Is that how big is the hourglass?
Oh, yeah, the serpents are there.
How big is the hourglass?
The hourglass is fucking huge.
Oh, so then I wouldn't have advantage. Okay.
Oh, yeah. The hourglass is a large structure.
26 on my first attack.
Hits.
Okay, my searing smite activates.
Okay, so give me the fire separately, because you do see, Callie, as you strike this, the hourglass structure starts to kind of melt away. Like, it is made of ice. It's not actual glass. And you see the blood begins to write out, "Hey, no fair!" exclamation point.
So that is 16 points fire damage. I'm also going to do...
That's 32 points of fire damage. You see it melts away a lot more.
So 32 points fire damage. Let me do my smites. With that fire damage, it becomes 72 damage on my first attack.
Wow, on your first attack?
Yeah.
Jesus. You see the integrity of this... hourglass, round glass, whatever you want to call it, is it is breaking apart.
May I take my second attack?
Jesus, yes.
17 to hit.
17 does hit.
Ah!
Just nice. All right. Big piece of ice. There is like a damage threshold, but it's not hard to hit. It's just staying in place. You do see as Callie's hitting it and like rocking it, the snow from the top that is dripping like sand in an hourglass starts to fall faster as it's like shaking and being forced through.
Uh-oh. All right.
37 more damage.
My God, this thing is on its last legs. Now it looks like a proper hourglass. It literally looks like it is just glass at this point. It is so thin, but continues to wind down, not even halfway there yet. After Callie's turn, Havoc is going to take a legendary action and is going to cast Conjure Elemental. You see a blizzardy air elemental appears from underneath Callie. I need you guys all to roll me strength saving throws to not get blown away by this whirlwind that's trying to throw you off the platform.
All right.
Ugh. 9.
Oh. Kenna passes.
19.
Okay.
Nat 1.
Saul and Callie are flung 20 feet away from the elemental in a random direction and knocked prone. So you guys both fall off the edge into the necrotic swirl of souls. You guys feel them pull at you and try to like drag you to fucking hell with them. You guys both take go ahead and give me constitution saving throws as you fall into the smoking swirling souls.
Guys.
Oh, really good constitution save. 23.
Okay. You just take half, you take 13.
Okay.
21.
Saul, you take the same. You both take 13 damage. Kenna just yells, "Guys, are you okay?"
Yeah, I'm fine. mean?
You guys also just dink down 30 feet and hit the ground. Saul automatic. Actually, you know what? I'm going to rule with prone. I'm going to say you're going to take regular damage. You guys are knocked prone from the air elemental, so you're going to fall and just like hit the ground.
Okay.
Could I have used my reaction to look at the helm and teleport to it?
No, that's an action to teleport to.
Okay, cool.
You only take 5 damage. I rolled very bad on the D6s.
All right.
From falling. So you guys just kind of like roll your ankles as you land on the ground.
You guys good? I heard a pop down there.
Callie, give me concentration checks for your searing smite.
I passed both my concentration checks. The time,
hell yeah.
The little hourglass is still on fire.
Okay.
That's nice.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's still on fire.
Is it still on fire?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that good? Is that bad? I don't know.
I think it's fine.
The blood seems upset by it.
Yeah, which is good. It's going to take more fire
damage. Yeah, the blood just keeps saying, stop cheating.
I swear, yeah, the hourglass is not on our side.
So Callie and Saul, you guys are at the bottom of this pit, 30 feet from the platform, and you see these souls still going around, so it looks like you'll have to go through them again unless you use Misty Step or something like that.
Mm. So I'm just underneath the ice watching the shadows of everyone fighting. Very cool. I take a small moment to appreciate that.
Don't look at my kilt.
Calder, are you wearing 2 pairs of underwear?
Yes, because I'm afraid no one's going to look at my kilt.
Calder, that is actually your turn.
Oh.
So you do see the glass looks like it's almost ready to shatter. And Kenna looks at you and goes,
I don't know. What do you think?
It seems like it can't be that bad of an idea, right? I'll take 3 attacks on it.
Okay. Wow. That's a nat 1.
Okay.
16 and a 28.
So you fully, on the first attack, you fully whiff and miss this giant hourglass that is stationary.
The light was that? Like,
are you okay, yeah, Mr. Kilday? Have you been charmed?
Of the fire?
Yeah. Were you charmed? Do you have the crown of madness?
Yeah. I was frightened. I was told to run, but I overcame it. It was really actually amazing.
Ghosts are booing really loudly.
They're booing everybody. They were going to boo regardless of what I did.
Yeah, then the other 2 hit.
Okay.
That is 32 damage.
You shatter this device. And as you do, you see that all of the snow that was gathered at the top falls into the bottom very cleverly, getting this challenge done way faster.
Okay.
Than you otherwise would have.
It was a good thing. I was sure of it the entire time.
So you guys
see. Yeah, I just like waited just ahead. I wanted Saul to have a turn. That's why.
The smoke and spirits surrounding the platform disperse. Callie and Saul, you guys are raised up like telekinetically back onto the platform. As you guys see, torches go up around the room and light it up fully. You guys see a bridge of ice raises up from the pit below and connects to a far side wall where you see another door appears. And then another message is written out in front of you. It says, very clever. You passed the simulation. Then over the archway of the next door, you see, beware, real betrayal ahead.
Guys, I'm just realizing this. The blood messages, the now on the wall. Could Gowan have made a deal with Radak instead of Alexandrite?
I think so.
Talk about betrayal.
Yeah.
God, it's such a fucking good move, though. Having Radak protect it from Alexandrite. I see why he did what he did. We can save him from this.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gotta believe you.
Let's just get to him. I don't like the phrase simulation. That sounds like something Alexandrite would say. She might be mixed up in all this too. I don't know what we're walking into, but we should be ready for anything.
Yeah. Whatever it is, I guess the real thing lies ahead.
Yeah.
The real test lies ahead.
Do you think we're gonna actually have to fight the real Gowan?
I hope not. But if it comes to that, I know you'll help me.
I'm going to follow your lead.
Yeah.
I love my brother, but he made a choice. He's been right his whole life, but he might have finally got something wrong.
And that's where we'll end our session. Gotta end it on a killer line like that.
Man. I'm so scared.
Yeah. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be over on our Patreon talking about this. Patreon.com/NADPOD. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet.
Whoa.
Does anybody have anything they'd like to plug?
I do.
Oh.
Drink tart cherry juice.
Okay.
Okay.
It makes your dreams a little wackier.
What?
That's is this fascinating.
Absolute wanna... yaunt energy.
Wait a minute. Is this a sleepy girl mocktail? What's going on here?
I mean, you could call it that. I just like read online that your dreams are more vivid if you drink tart cherry juice. And I did it. And my dreams are a little more potent. And I even had a lucid dream one.
Whoa.
Like, okay. Do you have to drink it right before bed? Or is it
I pour it into like a wine glass. So it is like a mocktail. I make a celebration
been drinking
of
that,
it.
But I didn't. You didn't tell me about your vivid dreams. Or lucid dreams.
Because they're not about you, dude.
Lucid dreams are really fun.
Yeah.
You're writing says, don't tell Murph about this.
Yeah. Jeez. All right.
They really are that epic. It's great.
I exclusively have lucid dreams.
Really?
Yeah.
You can control every single dream you're in. So, we need to talk
you've
about
You've never had a stomach ache burped, and you've never
you
burped,
control
never
your dreams.
And you control your dreams.
I do control my dreams.
Why do you what play
deal
underdog?
Did you
yeah. Uber dog.
You absolute motherfucker.
I'm gonna dream that I kick your ass. Yeah.
You can try, brother. Yeah.
Jake will be in control. Yeah.
Jake and I are gonna be asleep
on the
couch.
I'm gonna dream later that I kick your ass.
Are you sometimes just like, ugh, I'm too tired to script another fantastic dream for myself?
Sometimes I let them happen, but I almost exclusively try. Like, as soon as I realize I'm dreaming, I just hard left turn into something else.
We are gonna talk
this
more about this on the fucking
show. My God. All right. You could follow us on social media that we may or may not use at CHVersMe, at Caldy's Caldwell, at AXFords Emily, and at Jake Rhodes is Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD, that's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of a nation. We are the youth of a nation.
It's the end of the show, everyone, and you know what that means. It's time to shout out our benevolent council of elders, starting with Brad D., Jeffrey S., Lord of the Fjord, Hugh C., Later Mixgator, Matt M., Cutter W., Jeff C., Daniel G., Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P., Bryant Best Friend, to Nathan the Horse, Vincent W., Victor T., Balnor's Boy, Hoid's a Friend, Justin I., Danny Danster, TJM, Trele the Crayfay, Christopher B, Daniel R, Jordan L, Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Targot, Stevie Wags, Hellish Rebuker, PhD, R.I.P. Squeam, he died as he lived. Without context. Princess Yar, Jory S., Jack L., Nicholas C., star of every film ever made in Bohemia, now starring in the Iron Deep production A Squire Never Tires. Samuel B., Mike H., Elka Schmelzer Plus, Great Value Gemma, Adam G., Tyler F., Nabadger, Panama James, Heratrian, Carborough Chapel Hill FPV, Rexthaniel the White, Diana De Los Lopez, CC Lulu, Hercule Poirot, Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R., Reiko, Calder, Comes, Cold. Shout out to the Cold Come Companions. Frosty Facial. Wow, what a phrase to land on. Taylor B., the Vengeful One-Winged Angel. Cass, Skateboard, Cass. Steven speeds into Seasons of Sneezing. See, wow, I wish you the best in allergy season. Mike K., Lady Taco and Team Incredulity. Jake L., Nick W., William W., Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Ananorama, Percival Frederickstein von Musel Glazowski DeRolo III, J. Dragonborn, Goose Henry, The Sandrayan, Ben A., Dave H., Christian S., A Totally Normal Vulture, I don't buy that for a second, Dustin S., Danny F., Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant Izzy F., DPC is awesome, Shone, the Shade Tree Mechanic of Zelbeldar, Summer Rose Grantaire, Cat C., Misa of House and Zunza, Ariel, the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N., Velaciraptor, B. Perky Always, Maxwell J, Lauren H, Nolani, the Coffee Barista Brewing Fighter of Bahumia, Serve 16, the Bone Duster, Annie, the Feywild Therapist, Skillful Ferret. I'd like to see Calder's mom and dad. They're adorable. Connor Savage, Salil, Weed Goku 69, aka Gunk at 16, experimenting with drugs, BioQuirt 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H, Trub Hop Dropper, Jack H, aka Hey Guys, 8-Bit Book Club has 998 reviews on Spotify, 2 more, and the scribe said his dad would guess. Woohoo, let's juice. I didn't know that. I love it. Lindsay W, Valen, Carlin C, Emily S, Noah the Bullywug Boy, hashtag release the filthy guppy cut. I've heard the filthy guppy cut. James G, Everything Bago, the Eladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger Stripey. The simple things in life. Daddy Master Dandy, Han, Eric B, Marcos Learns the Balance Druid, Dakota J.P., Frida M., Tracy P., the Crick Owl Librarian, Maggie S., Holly Hyena, Giovanni the Fighter, Akash the Car, Doofenus, Russell H., a monk named Dilgo, Cody Care, Keychains Pentium 2 processor, Lorelei the succubus, and Kira her busty queen, Turt Cobain the turtle barbarian, Matt M, your friendly neighborhood yaunt and yunkle Andrew and Sid, John Adams the write-in candidate for 2024, Meg the mail carrier of Bahumia, James F, Jimmy A, M4L, Austin S, Wayfarer now has to do something with the trolls, get rid of them, turn to page 42, keep them, turn to page 69, Shane C, Burpo Good Barrel Barbarian, Welshlander, Garrett G, One Big Curd, Mr. D, Dana the Daisy, Ethan B, Havy the Half-Orc, Renee the Monster Captain, Box Clifton, Olivia the Enchanting Bard who is working hard on her audition for the lead singer of the Mounting Crows, Winter Slade, Sammy B, Bahumia's Finest Linguist, Riley S, Fico, Garrett the Artificer, Anthony the Raddest of Dudes, Josh H, Caleb L, The fairies say, om nom 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 nom. Wow, I knew what that was just from reading it. Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie wearing barbarian. Lexi H, MJ, the BFG. Cam, the frog man. Artavius Crass, Gino T, Mama Bell, Derek D, Tristan, the talentless hunk. BTA Workshop, Shenanigans O'Connor, Mios the Great, Joshua S, Alexander, Linz W, Angel La Pamela, the Forever Vindicated, Emma S, Red the Reforged Warforged, Pavu Eskenar, the Goliath Paladin providing service with a smile, a breathless heaving whisper to get there, a cat napping in a sunbeam listening to a podcast, C-Jam Hampton, Shell B, Kenna's second favorite sprite girl. She's casting power word party on everyone listening. If below 150 hit points, you must now limbo. Jackson R, Blake H, searching for a sweet blue hole with his bestie Big Bev, Pawpaw Sky Days, Claire and Callum Macbeth, Meemaw Sky Days. Oh, it's B! Tommy W, Mike and Lisa sending love to y'all. Thank you. I got it. Megan N, Haley the Human, the Big M, Balnor's best friend, Steve. Stephanie of House in Zunza, Jake's Ramen Shop, R.I.P. Melchior, the brave Leonin warrior, who even cares about the rest of the party, Benjamin A., Sacrificial Otaku, pen name for Callie's cousin who discovered anime and is trying to spread the word all over Bahumia, Jiggy M., Mikkel A., Josh H., Let's Combine into Ultimate Mega Yuck Mozord 9000, Froki, Maple, the Shy Bookworm, Ashley, Seth E., Billy Batson, Tori the Dragoose, son of Thomas the Blind Bisexual Goose, Bicon, and father of 69 Signets, Real Goose, look him up. Okay, I will. Sock Monkey Bob, Wolfwing Pup on a Spelljammer, broke through the blue veil, and now in the space between planescapes, I think I see a squid ship. Michael Lyle S. II, Jacob P., Nova Cry, Parcel, Dex Riddlewell, Hannah A., Ace Dregs, High Lord of Critburg, Joshua F., Darius D., Troy's Mom, Vin Diagram, Nurse Betty 141, GKC, Teehee, and finally, Hassanator. Thank you all so much. We love you. We love what we do, and you help us do what we do, and therefore we love you even more. Mwah, mwah. Goodbye, sweeties.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.